Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Okay, well, I mean, there's a recurring theme between the four of us here. We were chatting beforehand, and the theme of this thing is, you know, how to create something once there was nothing. And I know that's true, because at 3:30 this afternoon I had nothing, and now I have something. It's not much, but hopefully it'll be 8 minutes worth of time wasting. Anyway, there's a good reason why there was nothing, and that was because I hadn't read the brief. Now, how many of you are kind of students in advertising or going into marketing communication? And how, just quick show of hands. Jesus, and the rest of you? So how many of you are already in? God help you. Okay, so for those of you who are not, we're all creative. What I mean is, aren't a professional creative per se. A word of warning, creatives don't read the briefs. They'll tell you they have. They fucking haven't. I'm telling you right now. I didn't read it, and at about 3:30 this afternoon, I mailed Rob and I said, Jesus, mate, have you actually prepared something? I thought this was a panel discussion and we could just bullshit our way through for 10 minutes. Anyway, so here we are. So it's, yeah, I'm living it. I'm living this brief. But it wasn't that hard, because I have a great example of creating something from nothing, and that's basically called my career. Because I drifted into this business. Rob has spoken about how it was something of a vocation for him, and how he came into music, and it became something he fell in love with. I didn't, to be honest. It took a while. I have no qualifications whatsoever in advertising. I didn't go to an ad school, didn't study marketing. I have no diplomas or degrees in marketing. I have a degree, but it took me 5 years to get a 3-year degree, and it's a degree in English literature, which is not a bad thing, since I ended up in copywriting and religious studies, which is fuck all to do with anything that we're here to talk about today. A lot of creativity in religion. So I literally, my background, the way I literally drifted into advertising, sorry, I'm sort of half talking, half reading off this thing, bear with me. I met a guy in the army back in the day. I'm that old. Rob's claim to being the oldest man in the room, I dispute. So this is back in the bad old days when you had to go spend a 2-year stint in the army. And by complete coincidence, I met up with a guy in the army called John Hunt. Now, for those of you whom that name means something, it wasn't that John Hunt. That's how bizarre it was. He just happened to be a guy called John Hunt who was a lawyer by trade, whose wife happened to be a copywriter. And I said, what's a copywriter? And he said, ach, you know, she works and she writes ads. Okay, well, I've got a degree in English literature. I can write a bit. That sounds like fun. Maybe. And I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do with my life. I was about to come out of the army, be inflicted upon the world, and have to make a living somehow, get a real job. So I thought, all right, well, that sounds like something I could do. So this is how unadvertising I was. First of all, I didn't know what the hell a copywriter was. Second of all, when I came out of the army, immediately I sort of discovered that a friend of a friend of a friend had a girlfriend who was a junior art director, and I thought, oh my, that's fucking amazing. That a director, an art director, that's like, in my mind, that was the equivalent of, you know, a junior partner in a law firm. Wow, she'll get me in. She worked for some place I'd never heard of called Ogilvy & Mather, but that was beside the point. She was obviously big. She didn't, and I couldn't understand why. Eventually, I did manage to crack a job. I wrote property brochures, and I named property developments. That's what I did. Kid you not. And there was a formula by which we did it, and the formula was that I'd take an atlas into my office, and I was told by the guy who ran the place to look at the maps of Ireland, California, and New York State, write a list of the town, and pick the sexiest names. So for any of you that are living in a townhouse complex called Killarney or Boca Raton or Long Island that was built in the 90s, chances are pretty good I named the fucking place. So that was me and my auspicious beginnings. But I think it's a good thing, because I've grown to love it. I've grown to love it with an immense passion. And I think you, for those of you already doing it, you will know this. For those of you about to, be warned, you've got to love it or you're really going to hate it. Because it is demanding and it's all of those kind of things. But the point of this discussion being something from nothing, for me, coming from nothing to do with advertising, not knowing what it was, you know, for me it was a kind of alternative to, you know, being a barman and playing guitar in dodgy bands in pubs. You know, I had to get a real job and I had to do something, and thank God there was something there that I had some affinity for. And that's literally, it was a job for me at first. It's grown to be a much bigger thing. But I think it's speak for myself and myself alone, but for me it's actually been a really good thing, because I had no preconceived notions. I had no preconditioning. I had no real expectation level. I didn't know what to expect, still don't. But when the sum of your advertising credentials is precisely nothing, that nothing often includes bullshit. So I wasn't predisposed to understanding or tolerating bullshit. And that's been a fantastic thing. So I'm just going to read you, because I don't know, I forget what I said. But I said, to this day, I like to think that my biggest strength is common sense and the ability to be blissfully oblivious to jargon, formulae, cliches, and preset ways of doing things. So after 25 plus years, beat that, motherfucker, in the business, I can still sit in a strategy meeting or a marketing meeting or a whatever, a briefing session, and look across the table at somebody and, in all honesty and without an ounce of cynicism, just speaking honestly from the heart, go, I have not a fucking clue what the hell you're talking about. I generally put it more politely in client meetings, but the point I'm making is, tell me what the hell it is you want me to do. And you're going to find this is, wow, we dress this business up in a lot of absolute bollocks. And at the heart of what we do is sheer simplicity. I think that I speak for myself. I'm sure I speak for these guys as well. It's so simple. Simple and easy are two very, very different things. But it is so simple. What we do, Rob said it beautifully when he said, if I can get someone to feel something in a way that they haven't before, or show them something they may have even seen before, but feel something, I've done my job. That's our job. That's it. Everything else is trying to get to that point. And jargon and 10-page strategies and research findings and all of that kind of stuff, it's somebody else's job to make that stuff work for us. It's somebody else's job to crunch that stuff down so that people like us can actually think like consumers and go, what the hell is it you want to say, so that I can say it to the people out there in a way that I'll understand and therefore they will understand, in a way to, quote Rob, resonates with them emotionally, with me emotionally, and therefore hopefully will resonate with them emotionally. That's all we do. And our job is to get people to remember things. And the best way to get them to remember is to feel. And the best way to feel is keep it incredibly simple and heartfelt. The rest is either gloss, window dressing, at best a means to an end, at worst total bollocks. So just bear that in mind when we're going out there, that there's somebody on the other side who hasn't had any of that stuff, that's looking at your TV ad or going onto your website or listening to your radio spot or whatever with no preconceived nothing. They are coming from nothing. You want them to feel something. Keep it simple. Keep it heartfelt. Do not bullshit and confuse them. Worst possible thing you can do. You know, the way I put it down here was, when my way of saying it is, please translate into simple English. I saw a Denzel Washington film once, I think, where he said, can you put it to me in terms a three-year-old can understand? And that's always held true for me. So, okay, I'll give it five. Make it a five-year-old. Please translate into simple English and in terms a five-year-old can understand, and tell me what the hell you want. And the truth is, when you force people to do that, when you get baffled with bullshit, don't allow it to happen. Don't feel stupid. People are very good. Big intellectual brains are very good at being intimidating and making you feel like intellectually superior. Well, I'm not as clever. Rubbish. Often that's just confusing facts with nonsense. Keep asking for the stuff you want. Ask the questions that you want in order to get the information you want, to keep it simple and to understand what the problem is, because how the hell are you going to solve it if you don't understand what it is in the first place? There's a CD that was a big influence in me in my younger days. Mark Fisher, remember? often in not such good ways, but that's for a different speech. But he used to say, it doesn't matter, you just keep asking why. You become like a five-year-old kid. Whether it's client service or whoever you need those answers for, you just keep asking why. We need to do this. Why? Because of this. Why? Because of this. Why? And you're going to get one of two responses. You're either going to get down to the question being answered for you, or you're going to realize there is no why. In which case, that person's going to get frustrated with you and run screaming from the room and find someone else to work on it, which is great because it was a shit brief anyway. So, either way, it works. This doesn't fit in with the sort of topic of the thing, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's just a lovely analogy for getting rid of the crap. There's a story about a guy who's driving through the bush and he stops on the side of the road. Some of you might have heard this in different ways, but he's amazed because he sees a guy with elephant sculptures. And they're like this size, but they're the most realistic things he's ever seen. He stops and goes and he examines this thing, and literally every tiny millimeter of this thing is a perfect small replica of an actual elephant. And he says to the guy, how the hell do you get this thing so lifelike? And the guy simply says, well, I take away everything that's not an elephant. And it's a good thing to remember in this context as well. And then, just in closing, the other thing, knowing nothing at the beginning and in the early days, there are those who can test, I still know nothing, but fuck them. Don't stop me becoming was a rock star. Don't be a rock star, unless you're Rob, who was an actual rock star, so that's fine, he's cool. I didn't know it was supposed to be cool. I didn't know advertising was supposed to be a cool thing. I just knew I needed a goddamn job, and I was quite good at writing, so I thought, well, this is a good way to make money. And so to this day, I really, really struggle to take myself seriously, which is not the same thing as taking the work seriously. I take the work very, very seriously indeed. But I really have a natural non-affinity for taking myself seriously. And that kind of rock star mentality of I'm super cool and I'm super clever and I'm in this industry, therefore there's a halo effect around me. Don't go there. Remember, we're actually very privileged and very honored to be in an industry that challenges us on a daily basis, that engages our brains, that allows us to be creative. And I haven't specifically spoken about how we get creative, mainly partly because I don't know, partly because, as Rob said, it's an instinctive thing when it happens at all, and partly because other people said it much better than me. But we're very lucky. And there are times, those of you already in the business will say, what do you mean? I've had a day, a week, a month, a year from hell. We are so lucky to be doing what we're doing. And gifted and privileged. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the people we work with. In our case, we owe it to the people that look up to us to not be pretentious and nonsensical and whatever, and say that this is an amazing opportunity for you to achieve your potential. It is not an opportunity for you to be an egotistical, arrogant prick. And the best people that I've worked with, that I've worked for, that I still love and respect to this day, not one of them is a rock star. Don't be a rock star. It sucks. The way I put it here is, unless, as I say, you really are a rock star like Rob, then that's okay, but then you're doing something other than advertising. The way I put it, Joe, is it's an exciting, challenging, demanding, and inspiring career that I'm lucky to be part of, but it ain't rock and roll, and I ain't Jimi Hendrix. So, you know your place to a certain degree, and you'll be much smarter. There's a very wise man called John Hegarty who said, and it's appropriate for here, I think, 2 years ago at Cannes, I think he said, just because you sit in a beanbag doesn't make you creative. Good point. The inverse is also true, and with upfront apologies to my hipster friends, one fantastic beard I see there, well done. But you don't have to have dreads, and you don't have to have a hipster beard, and you don't have to have pants that don't fit to be a great creative. So for me, coming from nothing really can mean something. And essentially, because when you know nothing, that's when you're best placed to learn everything. So, thank you. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.